Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creatives who were in and around the clock for the Cropover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Cropover, Cropover. Welcome to Season 3 of the Lure It Up Podcast, powered by Bazodi Magazine, recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.
Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast with Bazodi Magazine.
So, good night. Tonight we're here with Mr. Jerson Blemman.
Good night. I don't know what's wrong to say. But it's good to be here, man. Good to be here.
I don't even know how to describe you because you wear so many hats.
It's true. Mostly, I try to live a life of leisure, to be quite honest. Some people say our profession, but we don't want to talk about that.
Right, we don't. We don't need to touch on that. We're aiming at the fitness tonight.
And the nutrition, apparently.
And nutrition as well. Because you have certification.
Yeah, PN level 2 certification, nutrition coaching.
And I don't think a lot of people know that.
When people talk, right, if it was the lesser melanin force, they talk all over their face, you know what I mean? And nobody asked for their qualification.
That's true.
But as soon as a brother,
yeah, exactly.
Will he know this from? Will he know that from? So I don't go there. But if you do ask, as if you're in the podcast right now, then I will let you know that you do have
exactly. You know, to give it the certification. Oh, you know, it's like he's not just a random. He's a man out there talking. He feel that he know everything.
Nah. There's actually some certification behind it.
Exactly. Okay, that's good. I really want to underline that for listeners.
Correct.
Jesse just on there talk. He got my body. Nobody got to listen to me. He done do it already.
No, man. There's a lot of science, and I constantly do research into, before we speak, from some of the leading experts out there to really dig into lots of nutritional topics that people ask about and talk about every day, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to bring across in a layman way because, to be honest, the average person that don't want to know the high science, so
no.
I try to take away the high science and bring it in a very understandable form for the layman, yeah?
That is really needed.
Yeah, definitely.
Physical therapist, he was telling me about radiopathy, and I'm like, what? So what are you talking about? Russian stimulations? Like, sir, what?
people didn't want to know about the mitochondria and cells and Krebs cycle and all that.
None of that.
They just want to know, hey, am I going to lose some weight and am I going to lose some body fat? How to do it? That's what they want to know.
That's basically simple as that. That's really what we want to get into today. Like, we just want to have that conversation really specifically about Cropover, how to prepare for Cropover, what it's like and what you need to do and what you think that people need to do or what people should be doing if it is that they're aiming to become road ready for Cropover.
But let me ask yourself the first question, what is road ready?
Ah.
Because at the end of the day too, we're in a culture where we're trying to promote body positivity. So at the end of the day, you know what young people say, the road can get where the road get. At the end of the day, so you for the first question, you must ask yourself, what is road ready?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean going on the road with a six pack or the defined quads, a big chest, some big arms and stuff? And then when you establish that baseline for yourself of what is road ready, then you can start to base your nutritional plans or your fitness plans off of that. You know what I mean? So for example, a key example is a guy might say, I want to go on the road with 8 to 10% body fat. Then, sir, you got a lot of hard work to do between now and then based on, again, genetics and stuff like that. But if you're coming from, like, say, 16% body fat, you won't get to 8. That's a lot of hard work. That will enable very strict dieting, very a protocol in terms of your fitness and what kind of exercises you're going to be doing. But it can be done, to be quite honest. Because when I was looking at the dates today and the time that we have between now and Cropover is roughly about 11 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a lot of progress in 11 weeks once you remain strict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If I'm being honest with you,
mm-hmm.
if you want to be road ready, mm-hmm. you should have been starting last year. Cropover. From the time Cropover finished last year, you should be because I'm definitely not one of those people that advocate for
like the crash diet.
Yeah, the crash diets and the working out for a certain period just to get road ready.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that a great deal of the listeners exist in that realm, right?
That realm.
And I don't know if you saw the tweet today.
Yes.
But there was a tweet I sent today, which is some of the best advice you could probably do for yourself. And it was along the lines of just cutting out all alcohol between now and the first week of Cropover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like dry. No sip on the weekend or no drinking effect that you need in that time. Let's keep it dry between that.
Dry.
And the rationale behind that, I think that people don't understand is the amount of empty calories that alcohol has in, yeah? And then it's not, the average person is not going to fit and drink one drink.
No, then you know what I mean? Never, it's never
one. It can be a one and two drink, and then it can be a three drink. And then you know what happens after one or two drink? We get hungry.
Yeah.
And we make bad decisions. True. And then we can go eat something that highly calorie dense.
Because it's probably going to be at night, but, and there are not going to be any good options available.
Exactly my point. So to avoid all that, we just cut out alcohol one time. And you'll be surprised, and it's not even, that's just from the aesthetic point of view, right? But you'll be surprised that just by going dry for that amount of time, you change so much different health markers. So for example, your sleep improves, your digestion improves, you know what I mean? Hormones profile changes, you start to feel better in terms of just your mood and everything. And sometimes you realize that, you know what? Did I have a dependency upon alcohol? And you start to question yourself, you understand where you're coming from? But that's one of the first things you could probably do, cut out alcohol just for that period, you know? I mean, you find yourself a lot of water weight too when you consume so much alcohol, and you don't want that.
That's another point. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want that. So the alcohol cut that totally out. And what you want to do too is, during this time too, is have a strict exercise protocol.
Mm-hmm.
When I say a strict exercise protocol, you want to be at least in the gym for 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's being, that's a baseline level there. And you won't be doing a balance of strength and conditioning workouts. The reason why I say strength, and we always in the fitness industry, everybody always talk about they want a toned body. What is that? Because it's a toned body.
Exactly.
What they really mean is that they want the athletic, muscular look.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming mm-hmm. from? And to get that, you got to lift some weights. You understand where I'm coming from? And there's no long or short about that. What you do in terms of lifting weights and stuff like that, it's totally up to you. Find something you enjoy, you understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But challenge yourself at least 3 times a week to some resistance training, you know what I mean? It could probably be moderate weights for two of those days,
mm-hmm.
and then some heavy weights. You can't get around the benefits that lifting heavy will do for you. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about in terms of just muscle development, in terms of, again, we're going back to a technical term like your mitochondria profile.
Mm-hmm.
By lifting weights and gaining more muscle, you activate more mitochondria in the body, and that's better able to, for example, you still won't go eat your food and stuff like that. So by having a better mitochondria profile, I try and put this as simple as possible.
That's the
key point. Exactly. But you're able now to tolerate the carbs and stuff that you want to ingest and stuff like that. So that's an advantage there to actually have a little more muscle. But from a nutritional point of view too, one thing you can do for yourself is always be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of meals and stuff like that, because as you briefly mentioned, when you don't have meals already prepared, you start to make bad decisions.
Just you want something quick, like, you know, you're trying to fast food, anything,
and you start available to make a lot of bad decisions there. Mm-hmm. So the next question is, hey Jerson, what should I be eating? Again, there's another question which is loaded too, because mm-hmm. you have to earn the right to play.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is that People think that when you go straight in terms of the diet from your nutritionist, in terms of he's telling you to eat this amount of protein, this amount of carbs, and this amount of fat, they're telling you that because they're trying to put you in a calorie deficit, or they're trying to give you a certain calorie profile in order for you to reach your goals, be it that body composition or either to lose weight, whatever it may be. But then they're like, oh, it's so hard to do, and you know, we're tired of eating the same things. But the reason we're doing that is to get you to your goal. Because the nutritionist, for example, would have assessed things like your BMI and what your daily intake is and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and catered a specific diet to you in order for you to reach those goals which you told him about. So for example, a baseline is like, hey, I want to get down to 180 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Off the bat, your nutritionist should be telling you, you know what? You should be getting at least 1 gram of protein to that 180 pounds. So mm-hmm. on a good day, you would probably be looking to consume 180 grams of protein. Is the average person consuming 180 grams?
I was just supposed to say that.
That's a lot of protein. But before I digress and say, going back to earn, you gotta earn to play. Mm-hmm. You gotta be able to be strict enough to adhere to that diet first. Before then, you get to the point where you can say, you know what, you got eyeball stuff and say, yeah, I'm eating this because I know it's going to work for me. You got to play that strict game. And I usually tell people that strict game is anywhere between 8 to 12 weeks to see what your body can really change and do in that period of time. You understand where I'm coming from? Because at the end of the day, too, Luke, the reality is that we live in a real world. People won't go there and have a beer. People won't go there and have a burger with their friends, eat some pizza once in a while. But in order for you to get there, you need to understand what your body does first regarding to how you eat and how your body reacts to it and stuff like that. And the long and short of it is that for a majority of us, in terms of our eating habits here in Barbados, we consume way too much calories. You understand where I'm coming from? And it's not to say it's quality calories too.
Right.
Majority of that is from like the same carbohydrates that we're going to talk about. The average meal comes with like 3 carbs, a piece of protein. When the reality is that you should be structuring your meals around protein So for example, if I need to get 120 grams a day and you're going to eat three meals, then what do we got to do? We got to try to at least get 40 grams at each meal. You understand? Okay. So once you structure your plate of having the adequate amount of protein, then you can balance everything around there. And then after that, now it's like, so for example, I tell people, even if you don't want to go to nutrition and stuff like that, there's so many little tools online that you can use, like your palm. Get a palm size of protein. Give you anywhere between, say, 28 to 30 grams of protein for a meal. And that's good. And then after that, now, you would then structure the rest of your meal. So you structure your fats, your carbs around that meal. And to be honest, people believe that a meal isn't complete without a burger full of carbs. You're not going to reach it. You're not going to be long short. You're not going to reach your goals by consuming excess calories. So you really got to mitigate that too. And the Bajans are a society we love a sauce.
We love a sauce. Obsessed with
it. We obsess with sauce. If you can, even that's like tweaking in your diet by just removing some sauces from your meals, that makes a huge difference to the difference in terms of the amount of calories that you're consuming in a day. You understand? Like, I don't think we understand that. And the next thing, along with the sauces too, we love a sweet drink, man.
Yeah.
We love a sweet drink. And I always advocate for not drinking your calories, you understand? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think people understand the amount of calories that come with sugary beverages, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes 230 to 300 calories alone. You know what's called
it? People don't understand. They just say, oh, it's just a cold.
Not telling people not to live, you understand where I'm coming from? But if you can eliminate, say you're having 5 quarts a day, if you can eliminate 1 quart and replace that water, you are on the path now. Of changing your profile a little bit, then you get to 2 glasses of water as opposed to the 5 cokes. You understand where I come from? And then just eliminate it. I'm not telling you to stop with the coke. You understand? We get bring it out to 1 coke a day, but at least we're replacing the other 4 cokes now with 4 glasses of water. And it's simple tweaks like that, you know, that makes the difference. But not to say track to what the people want to talk about in terms of just their preparation. My biggest thing is, again, the elimination of alcohol in your diet right now. I mean, as hard as that may seem to go to fets and not drink anything, you will. Yeah, it hurts.
I can hear people eyebrows raising and shoots in the mouth. Say, I can't listen to this day, you know?
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying it just because I've done it also too, and I've seen the results that come from it. And you'll be quite impressive what your body can do during that time. And then it's a debt. It's all about the debt, man.
Yeah.
It comes down to your debt in terms of what you're going to do between now and say a cup over there. Definitely comes down to that. Again, my recommendation is building most of your meals around protein. And then once you hit your protein targets, then you could add your fats and your carbs there. The next question is, hey, but how much carbs and how much fats? I always tell them fats come down to look at your tum, and sometimes it depends on your goals for the average person. One serving of a tum size serving of fat, and that's for you exactly. Yeah, it seems a little bit. And then for carbohydrates, make a fist, and that's what you should be consuming in terms of carbohydrates. So that means, and the point that we should stick in here now, we're not just talking about any carbohydrates either. And we're not just talking about any protein, we're talking about quality proteins, you know? Because there are a lot of protein sources out there, and I know I could hear the folks they're talking already saying, but things are expensive, Justin.
You can't expect people to eat healthy, spicy.
But again, we have so much sources. That's the last time you hear somebody say they're eating some sardines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Number one, sardines. But sardines are such an amazing source of protein. And then you got your omega-3s and omega-6s there, too. It's absolutely fantastic. 2 sardines to 3 sardines in the morning already done complete you protein goal there already.
You know what you sound like?
What's that?
You watch The Matrix?
When
Neo first come in the real world, the man come with a bowl of gruel.
And
he was like, what's this? And it's like, you know, it's everything the body needs.
Everything the body
needs. You sound like that, man.
And the other sources, you don't have to go to the running mill salmon from overseas and stuff like that. We got fish there. We go to the market. It's a case of if you want to dedicate your time to go do the shopping, you understand?
Yeah.
And that is the problem there. People don't want to dedicate the time in order to preparing these meals. Eggs. I can't overstate how great eggs are.
Yeah.
Eggs has always been one of those things where it's gotten a bad rep because of cholesterol from the and the yolk, sorry. And there are more than enough studies to debunk that.
Right.
There are more than enough studies to debunk that.
I see so many people talking about yolks and I like it.
But that contains all the stuff.
That contains all the stuff.
The same vitamin B, the choline, everything that you need in your body to, again, I'm not saying go over the edge and be consuming 12 eggs a day.
Right.
Because if you're not active with that too, you can send that marker like your cholesterol, yeah? You definitely want to get quality sources. Chicken, again, I know the chicken is expensive, but you can you don't necessarily need to go for the breast sometimes. Mm-hmm. Legs sometimes, cut up, chop up and stuff like that. Tuna.
You people on this podcast.
Peas and stuff like that. Exactly. All those are good sources of protein. You understand where I'm coming from?
Where you want to get, where it is that you want to go, you have to sometimes make sacrifices.
Of course. And nothing in life that is worthwhile is going to come easy. That does the long and short of it.
We touched somewhat on the nutritional aspect. We didn't get to touch on sleep too as well.
I mean, come on. The reality is that you could be taking all the best supplements in the world. Mm. Most expensive supplements, the ones that are recommended by all the professionals. But if your sleep is not on par, then all of that is for nil. Trust me on that. Because I don't think people understand the importance of that recovery period, yeah? And it's not only that recovery period, but it's quality sleep too, yeah?
People just don't get it. People don't understand the importance of sleep and what an important part it plays in your diet.
Correct. Exactly. And not only that too, I mean, it comes from everything. Like, the majority of your growth hormone, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of, so for example, most guys, they want to get big, yeah, and muscles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know when majority of your growth hormone is secreted?
When you're sleeping,
exactly. It's not secreting when you're doing the 10 reps. That's not happening. Nothing is happening there. Nothing is happening there. But in order to get the gains from those reps, you need in order to have quality sleep. So I always tell people, a quick way to think about quality sleep is to work backwards. You understand where I'm coming from? So work backwards from your morning routine. That may include like me, for example, I'm a habitual coffee drinker, yeah? So I'm not going to have coffee after 12 o'clock or even near 10 o'clock because I know that it's going to affect the quality sleep at night. You understand? Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning?
You should technically be cutting off your coffee intake if you plan to get to bed at 9 o'clock at night, around 6-7 o'clock in the morning. That's the reality. Coffee has a half life, something called a half life. So basically, it's telling your system at least 12 hours later in the day. That's the reality of coffee.
Did not even know.
Yeah,
that.
Wow. So you might be thinking,
I'm drinking in morning. Yeah,
I have a lunchtime coffee. That lunchtime coffee is going to affect your sleep. That's the long and short of it. That's going to affect your sleep.
I never even thought about that. So, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And even any kind of beverages like black tea, which contains caffeine, green tea, all those things we got to be cognizant of. So that being said, and just try to make your environment sleep friendly. That's what I tell people. So it might sound kind of hippy dippy, but put your phone on that sleep mode. You know what I mean? Yeah. Have a hard fast time to when your phone is going to go off, that you don't get disturbed and stuff like that. Have a low light room. If it's possible that you can't have an air conditioned room, which is cool, open the windows, make sure it's cool. But you see that light factor? That's a major factor. Just make sure your room's as dark as possible because the way how the body works is that it takes visual cues from outside to when it's day and night. So when you're having all of those artificial lights like phones and stuff like that, it's literally telling your brain, you know what? I'm still supposed to be up when it doesn't want that. You're supposed to bring down your cortisol levels at night. You understand where you're coming from? And you're supposed to be up in your melatonin. Yeah. That's where you're supposed to get to bed. It's a lot to think about, but to make it simple for that, just make it environments casual. So low noises, TVs and stuff like that. Just try to cut off most of that stuff, at least an hour to an hour and a half before bed. And again, you'll start to see the benefits. And in terms of length, again, if you're going to wake up at, say, 6 in the morning, try to be in bed by at least 11. That gives you a time of that 7-hour period of quality sleep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Just about to ask, what period of time would you recommend?
But the period of time is, again, very relative to the individual. Yeah. So, for example, me, I feel absolutely refreshed at between 5 and 6 hours of rest. People like, but the doctor is recommended 8 hours. Again, it's very individual based. Mm-hmm. You understand where you're coming from? And again, your age and stuff like that. Studies have shown that older people need less sleep. Mm-hmm. You understand where you're coming from? Yeah. As opposed to a younger person in their teenage years.
Like
of course. Right. So you need, at minimum, you should be getting 8 to 9 hours.
No, that's right. That's perfect.
8 to 9 hours.
In order for that to everybody.
Correct. 8 to 9 hours. Exactly. Younger people need rest. But it's very shoot for, I would say, a figure that I would just throw there very arbitrarily is shoot at least 6 hours minimum, yeah? Mm. Minimum.
Of quality sleep, exactly.
Mm. Because it's just not falling to bed and dozing off, but you need that REM period, that's rapid eye movement period, exactly, to get into, which is usually in a 90-minute period. Then you need the slow wave sleep. No, it's all those things that you need in order to what we call a sleep profile during the night for your body to wake up and feel refreshed. So because you will hear some people saying, man, I get 8 hours of rest, but I still feel tired. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, I guarantee you that if you filmed yourself during that period, you were twisting and turning that entire night. So you weren't really getting quality sleep.
Right, exactly.
And then you got to ask yourself what contributed to that, and it will take you back to the same stuff I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Did you consume a high caffeine beverage before bed? I mean, you will fall asleep, but then again, we're going back to the topic of alcohol. Consuming alcohol, you know, some person will say, oh, I need to learn nightcap to sleep better.
Oh, Lord.
Garbage. Because alcohol is one of the main contributors to unrestful sleep at night. I can tell you that. There's more in the studies showing that. So it's just those little things, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And so it all add up, you know?
At the end of the day, that's what I was telling you earlier. If you can cut out alcohol, you will see your sleep improve dramatically. Trust me on that.
I'm not kidding you.
And then again, just to finish off that little portion of it, it goes back into which we didn't even talk about, which is my favorite part of talking. The gut biome.
This is your specialty.
By consuming alcohol, you disrupt so much of your gut.
Really?
You kill so much of good bacteria in there, and you just destroy your insides, man. That's reality. So look at it this way. You're not getting enough rest, which contributes to your gut biome and health. You're eating garbage, which contributes to your gut biome and health, and then you're not getting enough rest.
Yeah.
So it's like a triple whammy.
Yeah.
So you're setting yourself a bad process there. So all in all, the best thing you can do for yourself right now, in order to start before taking any supplements, is to just get some better rest. And that's a quality diet right now. And that would make a big difference in terms for that preparation for crop over.
I'm glad that you say that, because a lot of people feel that it's the supplements or they're going to exercise in the gym and you need to work out for 3 hours.
But that's the reason why they call supplements, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to supplement a good lifestyle to begin with. So once you start to optimize your sleep, and your diet, then the supplements will have a working, because you could be taking as much creatine and much protein as from now to the cows come home. If you're not getting enough rest for your body to assimilate that said creatine and protein, you're never going to see the gains. Even with fat loss, people say, oh my God, I don't want all this cardio, I don't want all this stuff and like that. But why am I not losing weight? Because you're not allowing yourself to rest, to recover in order for the body, in order to show the results that you've been doing in gym. It's crazy.
It really is crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry we can't continue this conversation more.
I know, but it's a lot, man. I kind of sad that we can't carry on to really give people a more in-depth knowledge of what they need to, because again, it's not for that 8 weeks or 12 weeks. Yeah, it's about longevity, Luke.
It is about a lifestyle.
We hear everybody the same way how you want to be rich. Mm-hmm. What do you do have to be rich?
You have to put steps in place that last the entirety of your life. You just can't do it for the next 3 months and then expect to be rich for the rest of your life.
Unless you want them, then that 1% of the people that, you know what I mean, made it lucky. Exactly. It's the same thing with health. You go to the bank to make a deposit all the time to save money in order for you to have a decent lifestyle down the road. Why not do the same thing for your health? Mm-hmm. Make a deposit every day regarding your eating, your resting, you know what I mean, and working out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the benefits of it down the road.
That's the most important part. Yeah, we didn't even touch on, like, we're talking about the here and now, as in, like, 3 months from now, with regards to crop over Akaduma, we ain't talking about for the rest of your life, and that is the decision that impacts the rest of your life.
But let me leave you something real quick there before we go, because you know the time is getting bony, yeah? The reality is, right, this is how brilliant the gut is, then. And this is why yo-yo diets don't work. There are the bacteria in your gut, right, can, even when you go on a diet, and you eliminate certain foods and stuff like that, the bacteria in your gut is so smart, right, that it can lie dormant for that 3 month period, right, and say, okay, you're changing your diet upon me, and you're making, no, this is how it works,
right.
You're making the progress in terms of, you know, you get leaner and stuff like that, but then you know what people do, they go and binge and stuff right afterwards, instead of just changing their lifestyle and diet one time, and so the gut bacteria, these are we accustomed to.
Right.
And then they start to populate again. And then you start to gain the weight, everything that you come, that you start to gain.
That explains it. I've heard about that. You go to the gym and you start and then you put back on the weight.
It all has to do with your gut, my friend. All has to do with your gut. Gut bacteria is a very smart thing. That's how the universe made us, you understand? It's very smart, you understand? So in order for you to change that actual profile, that's where the lifestyle change comes in terms of your entire diet. It's something that you can't do for a period of time. You got to be doing it every single day, working on your gut health.
Constant and consistent.
Constant all the time.
Justin, retire well, boy. I really must thank you for imparting this knowledge. Who would have thought, you know, 20 years ago, you'd be here, you know, imparting
this
proper knowledge, jumping about on stages.
But again, that's what's helped me continue to jump on stages, though, you understand? Granted, I probably don't want to be doing it, but again, at the end of the day, too, it's not just about jumping around on stages, but it's trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. Last bit of gem here, I can leave you here too. people believe that aging is a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they turn 40 or 50, oh my God, I'm decrepit. I can't do certain things no more. Hogwash. Hogwash. I know guys 50 years stuff like that kicking ass right now. 60-year-old people that kicking ass. You know what? Because they took the steps in their 30s and 40s in order to maintain a lifestyle, it bothers me to know and to hear young people in their 20s and 30s talking about my knees and my back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, why is that happening? The body is meant to move. You understand where I'm coming from? Right into your golden years. That's the reality.
Because you saw that Beijing 2 video with them old people at that party. And it was moving. Like, I was amazed. It was like 30, and moving up and down.
Ask yourself why places in the blue zones, for example, got so much longevity. And they ain't got no fancy gyms or nothing. But you know what? They move every day.
Yeah.
In order for them to live their life, they gotta commute to certain places. So they do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
In order for them to move their produce and stuff, they gotta do a lot of lifting and heavy stuff like that. And you know what happens comes out of that? They're not exposed to the processed foods. They're still eating pretty much what they ate 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no high science behind it. A proper minimum process that along with movement every day, and you solve half your problems there, buddy.
So many gems to take away from this interview.
I hope people like these take something from it.
I can't thank you enough then for this really, really good advice, really and truly. I definitely could see that we can have you probably like 4 weeks down the line back here again to say, okay, well, you're on your diet, you know what is the end goal now as we approach crop over?
Correct. Well, you got my digits, man. Just let me know where you want me to come and speak again. I'll be here, man. Because that's my goal, man. I'll tell everybody around me, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want that my lifestyle, well, the good parts of it, rub off on you in order to, you know what I mean, be a better person, man. That's the reality. I want everybody to be around. You know what I mean? I want everybody to be around in old age and still living the best life.
And able to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. And still move around, man. Old age is not a death sentence, man. That's the reality.
True. So very true. Thank you very much, then, again.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
No problem. Welcome to the Lore Up Podcast, powered by Basel D Magazine.
Tonight, we're here with Danielle Gill, too, as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I just wanted to touch on, we were looking at fitness in crop over. So I was coming to you because I see that you recently had this advertisement where you're talking about that you're doing fitness courses for crop over for people. What has that been like so far? And what recommendations would you give to people for crop over?
All right. So firstly, I am just realizing that fitness is who I am, which is really strange because people know me as the fitness girl for a couple of years now since I was in Dublin, Ireland. So that's exactly. 7-8 years now. I realized it was literally my daydream. You know that song that goes, darling, don't quit your daydream. It's your life that you're making.
Yeah.
So I'm literally diving head in, stay disciplined, which you just spoke about. It was a spur at the moment.
Really?
It's been something that I wanted to do for a while. I've been making logos. I've been trying to get stuff sorted. But the morning that I posted it was a spur of the moment because I had literally just left my job.
What?
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And honestly, it was not even supposed to start out as giving fitness courses or training people or anything like that. The discipline is supposed to be a sports apparel catered to persons in Barbados.
And then you transform that then?
And I specifically just transformed it into training persons because people have been asking me, Danielle, when are you going
to
do this? Danielle, when are you
going to
do that? People have literally been messaging me for the last 3 months since the year started. Can you train me for crop over? Can you get me right? I want to look good in my costume. Mm. And yeah, that morning I posted was literally, all right, let's do this.
Yeah. And diving off into that. Yeah. Because I mean, you have the body that I know that most women would want. Like, this is the crop over body. This is the fitness body. This is my launch body. All of that.
But you know, like, I don't see it.
What?
I don't see it.
Wow.
Because I just feel like everybody's so beautiful in their own way. Honestly, I suffer with body dysphoria, especially when it's coming up to competition time, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I'm the boniest person out there with the leanest muscle, and I look like a square.
You remind me, I used to have a friend who, and he was saying something very similar, like, and I wasn't really getting it until he posted like a cartoon with like a muscular man standing in front of a mirror, and all he was seeing was a skinny man.
That's literally all they see.
Yeah, that's...
So when persons say, oh, like, your body goals, you're this, you're that, I mean, really?
Aren't
because
you?
I think that you have the perfect body as well, and where are you seeing it? Like,
ooh, that's good. I like that. But no, yeah, truly, 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 I could see how people look at you and be like, she's everything I want to be, or at least she knows the steps to put me on the right path of where it is that I should be.
Yeah, honestly, and knowing the steps are from, as I said, years of just doing it. I remember moving to Ireland. I was a very athletic child, very expensive child. Did probably like maybe 6 different sports, including cheerleading and football, track, anything you name it, I was there. The only thing I didn't play was hockey because my mom was scared I'd break my shin. But
I get it. I see.
You know, after moving to Ireland and not, literally not having anything to do while I was studying, I was like, let me join the gym. Mm-hmm. And it's there where I learned most of the things that I do know. I've taken the ACSM course and really just being hands-on. Actually, when I came back from Ireland, I remember my first job in Barbados was a personal trainer at Genesis Gym.
So this is basically then a continuation of those types of steps then.
But I didn't realize that this is what I wanted.
To do, yeah.
I didn't realize that I wanted to be this involved in people's transformations. I didn't realize that I wanted to be this involved with how people see themselves positively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do like that you have that undergirding. It seems kind of unconscious, but in that the bodies are... like, they're already good where they are. So it's not like you're looking at somebody and say, ah, man, you damn, you look bad. They're going to transform you. You already seen, but you're good. I see that you're good. However, I do understand where it is that you want to go, and I can help you along that pathway.
Yeah, like, I understand where you want to go. I understand where you want to be. I understand where you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something a lot of trainers don't try to understand about their clients here as well. They just say, oh, I'm a trainer, I'm going to get you as ripped as possible.
Right. Yeah.
But what if that's not what the person wants? Mm. What if the person just wants to be as fit as possible? Mm. What if the person just wants to, like, you know, lose a little weight? They don't necessarily want to be ripped, but they want to be slimmer.
Mm-hmm.
What if that person is a smaller person on a spectrum, and they just want to gain weight?
Mm-hmm.
They want to improve. Like, there's so much that people here don't understand in terms of training, in terms of understanding clients, in terms of giving the clients what they might want and not what they themselves want for the clients.
That's a very good point. And then it's also good to see a woman too in that sphere, because I know that women have talked about how intimidating it is to have a male personal trainer. So then it's good now to have a woman you can look at and say, oh, she's what I want to look like. She's a woman just like me. Let me go to her because she'll know.
Most definitely, because I know a lot of women out there who say sometimes, like, the men, they do not understand what a woman's body goes mm-hmm. through, especially if you're going through your cycle. If you are a woman who suffers, I don't know, with like anorexia, depression, anything like that, there's certain males out there who don't understand or sometimes choose not to understand mm-hmm. because, well, I just hate to train you.
Exactly. I'm going through that. So
I am going through that.
Out, you know? So yeah, I think that also too is very key and very important. Then because you're younger too, then you can help and you see it from a younger perspective, then that you help navigate it that type of way, as opposed to like an old head who would be like, oh, why do it this way? So you could do it this way without understanding, as you think that people have different challenges, whether it's anorexia, PCOS, all that type of stuff that they have to navigate.
I think being a younger person too, and just being in the realm of social media, there's a lot that I learned. Actually, recently I was talking to someone who I'm actually going to be training soon. I've offered my services to them, and she actually had an accident. She was perfectly mm-hmm. fine before the accident, and she's in pain a lot now. She has different disabilities now because of this accident. Mm-hmm. And her male trainer before just thought she was complaining. Now, this is a young lady who walks around with a cane, who visibly can't do certain stuff.
Mm.
He just thought she was complaining because there's certain things that she literally can't do. He wasn't understanding, he wasn't listening. And I find sometimes when you just listen to someone, when you just like empathize with someone, it makes such a difference. Even if it's not you're physically training them, it might help them mentally. And that's another aspect of fitness.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes you might be going to the gym or you working out at home or whatever, but you're not seeing the results and stuff like that because you're mentally not there as well. Mm-hmm. I just think being at this age as well, also being on social media, as I said, and, you know, learning so much through people looking at their, I don't know, want to say tweets, their posts, anything like that. You learn so much about different things that might affect people, different things that might affect their fitness levels, different things that might affect their reason for not wanting to be that person or work out as often or not do that or eat whatever. There's so much that you can learn.
Yeah. And as you say, the challenges people go through and just the mundane ones in like, why understanding why people don't want to have more discipline in their lives or wouldn't say, okay, I need to change my diet, or I need to eat more, I need to eat less, I need to sleep more, all that type of stuff. And social media really does give you a very broad spectrum of viewpoints that you can understand where it is that people are coming from, maybe that you would not just have understood from before.
I mean, a lot of people also aren't, I want to say, motivated, but a lot of people also aren't disciplined.
Discipline, that's exactly.
And that's where my brand comes. Stay disciplined.
Yeah.
Because honestly, when you get to a point, it's no more motivation.
Yeah.
Like right now, I am 4 weeks out from competition and I have no motivation left in me.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's literally I wake up and I go to the gym because that is what I have to do.
What you have to do is what you're supposed to do.
And that is what I'm supposed to
do. Exactly. And you can't have any type of like breakdown in that type of order.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get one more and say, oh, no, I can't do it. You know, you lack the discipline, you don't go, that is going to be a cascade.
Even when I say I can't do it, like if I say that in the morning, I still end up going like midday or any night because at the end of the day, like that's my discipline. My brain is like, you didn't do it. Like you didn't do it. You have to do it.
I think that is the key point. And I do like how you made that the theme of your brand altogether. That people must, you know, that you stay disciplined and that you kind of like you stay the course and you go down the road because then that's how you achieve the goals.
Exactly.
You don't want people stopping halfway or saying, oh, I was almost there. Or, oh, it's required away. And then I think it also goes back to what Jerson said too in that it would be helping people to understand that it's not just for crop over, but it's for a lifetime.
Exactly. The same thing that he would have said, if you wanted to really prepare for crop over, you won't prepare now.
Right, exactly.
Not the couple months or couple weeks from crop over, you would have been preparing from last year.
Yeah.
Because if you really want to see the goal that you have set for yourself, you would have started early and not procrastinated on it. I mean, procrastination is something we all suffer with. I mean, even if you don't have the motivation, but that's why I said it's not only about motivation, it's also about self-discipline and going after what you want for yourself. You always have to want better for yourself. And if you want this body that you're envisioning because your body to you isn't good enough for the road, start early. And if you're going to start now, you got to stay disciplined.
Yeah.
To see whatever result you want for crop over, it may not be the exact result, but you will see a result. You have to stay disciplined and stay the course.
What is the recommendations that you would give to the listeners on what steps, I guess, it is that they can make from now up until Kuduma Day? Like, what were the best recommendations you could give for somebody coming into crop over season?
Best recommendations would be honestly to stay active, keep active. It doesn't have to be heavy lifting in the gym. It doesn't even have to start in the gym. Start at home.
Mm-hmm.
Walk around the block. You want to jump the whole course?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be fit enough to do that.
You got to have that stamina and that consistency.
Walk around the block. Turn it into jogging. You know, if you are part of the gym or want to join the gym, start cardio. Start lifting if you want to tone up. And toning up doesn't necessarily only mean lifting weights. It also means cardio. It also means nutrition, getting as much protein as possible, cut down on the carbs, cut down on sugars. That includes dairy, milk, cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I guess you like that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have it, but in moderation.
In moderation. That's
if you're going to have cake today, don't have it tomorrow.
Exactly.
If you're going to have cake today, don't have the whole cake.
That is also a good point. I think that is both, as you say, in moderation. But if you really want to cut, you know, is that you will have to have a very, very straight diet. But I don't believe that most people have the discipline to stick with a very straight diet. So you would like to advise people to enjoy things in moderation.
Enjoy things in moderation.
I always think like it requires a lot of balance.
It really does.
That's the really key point that people should be taking away, that you can't, it doesn't always need to be an overdo. Like, you don't need to go and get blind drunk. You don't need to, as you say, eat the whole cake. You don't need to have,
you do not have to go out to get drunk. You do not have to. You don't ever have to drink alcohol on a regular basis to have a good time. I don't know why people believe that. Like, if you want to get this body for crop over, save the alcohol for crop over day.
Yeah, I really
stop drinking now, so that all the sugars and everything would be out of your body. Drink enough water every day, like maybe 2-3 liters of water a day. Mm-hmm. It's easy. Replace the alcohol with the water.
And it would probably be cheaper too as well.
And it will be cheaper on your pockets. You get to save for the costume you want. Exactly. You get to save for the parties you want to go to.
Save for the clothes.
Exactly. The
shoes. Yeah. What you're going to wear on Kaduma Day. All that type of stuff. No, I really think, because it's outside the studio, something that me, you, and Justin agreed on, in that you don't need to drink when you go out to have a good time.
I drink water.
Exactly.
I be over there having a ball.
I can't remember what it was. I had started at some point drinking water and not having to go and have a drink. But then it made me realize that if you can't go to an event and just have a good time without any kind of stimulant, what are you there for? Exactly.
Like, why are you there?
Why you require three drinks? Why you three drinks in to have a good time? Exactly. You know, what does that really say about you? What does that say about the event? Why must you be? Or like, I ask people at the end of the event, was it a good event? The people get blind drunk.
So they don't even know what happened in the event.
It was so good, But the people who either had one or two drinks or had none will be able to give me better feedback.
Exactly. Everybody, because they were aware.
They were aware. The blind drunk people, oh my God, that was the event. It was so good. And they're like, okay.
Was it so good or are you so good? Okay,
exactly. I get ripped up. I was like, there we go. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how you could tell. So I really think that is very much a key point. But for those who can't stay super strict with their diets, I believe that comment about moderation really
is
very, very, very key. Very key.
If you have no self-control, I really don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
Maybe, you know, you and your brand can help them stay disciplined.
Come to me.
And you were telling me too as well that you do some work with some brands too as well with regards to supplements.
So I'm actually an ambassador for 7Seas under Stanfield Scott. Also an ambassador for Syntrax Proteins under Brighton Stokes Limited. Mm-hmm. And then as well as the Fit Stop. Mm-hmm. For all of their supplements.
Okay, a real fitness influencer.
Yeah. And people ask me why you take so many supplements. But honestly, is that once you're living a healthy lifestyle, the supplements are there to supplement you. Like, right. They're there to help. And as a bodybuilder, oh goodness, where do I start? As a bodybuilder, under Bikini Fitness, which is the smallest category in physique, my calories are quite low. So I take, maybe 1,200 calories in a day? Which ain't really nothing.
Ain't really nothing.
I out here surviving on air. I'm hungry right now. But honestly, taking my creatine as well as working out, that helps so much. Amino acids, taking my metabolic supplements all the way down to my amino acids. This is what helps to give me my energy, helps to supplement what I don't get in my daily intake of calories. And also helps with sleep.
Exactly.
Because I don't sleep.
What? You're like, Jerusalem, I need 5 hours?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I cannot go over 5 hours of sleep.
I take my hat off to y'all.
Or else I am extremely exhausted when I wake up.
I take my hat off to y'all. Really, I'm quite impressed by that. As young people need lots of sleep. So 8 hours.
Oh, young people. I forgot you're in your 20s.
That's right. So no. I mean, that must make you pretty efficient. Have a whole day to do a whole set of stuff.
Exactly. I have a whole day to do exactly what I need to do and what I want to do at the same time.
And I do like what you said about supplements, in that it is not supposed to be the foundation. It's just supposed to add on to
add on.
It's already there. Like, it's supposed to carry you to that level and make sure that you reach the goals it is that you're looking to achieve.
And surviving.
That is really it. So let me know where people can find you and stay disciplined online.
So my personal Instagram, where you see everything I do from a day-to-day basis in terms of bodybuilding and fitness, is at @its_DanielleGill, @its_DanielleGill. And stay disciplined is ITS, ITS underscore stay disciplined. As I said, it was originally supposed to start out as an apparel brand and not just gym attire, but actually gym accessories, because I find it so hard find gym accessories here in Barbados. And the ladies are going to be disappointed because I'm actually going to be bringing out the menswear first, because the men are always complaining that they cannot find stuff here in Barbados, even from our local brands.
Super hard to find this stuff. That you only find like one or two. I think there was only one I saw recently on Instagram, but that was about it.
There are two local brands here I actually work with that I love. And that's the other reason why I'm bringing out the menswear first.
Yeah, and I definitely
and the believe, accessories to complement those who are here already.
Definitely believe there's room in the market and that nobody definitely. Ain't treading nobody else's toes, because it's really diversity of choices, what men really desire.
Exactly. Man just don't want a shirt and a pants.
They want so much more, exactly.
So much more.
And don't have to hunt around for it. I don't have to say it to my phone so that I'd randomly pop up on my Instagram, because it don't.
Because you know they'll be listening, like, exactly. Oh, that's what you want.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> I'm very glad to have you with us. You know,
I'm glad to be here.
Hey, but it's very good, and I'm glad to see you chart on the way that you're taking your fitness, you're going into competitions, and how you evolve, and being able to watch you, like, oh, you started off with it and then come. I was like, oh, wow, she's a real fitness, super fitness
really
girl.
I really feel like I'm being myself these days, and I love that.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that for you.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a blast. Yeah. Basody.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.